David Rockefeller and other globalists are pretty arrogant in what they think, what they're trying to accomplish. I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, folks. Thanks for joining me again. This is Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and we are in the middle of another series based on my book, Rome Rising. And Rome Rising can be purchased from Amazon.com, should you like to do that. I hope you do. It's an interesting book, I think. It was a lot of fun to write and very eye-opening for me as I did a ton of research on Daniel 2, Daniel 7, other places in Daniel, as well as the book of Revelation and other portions of Scripture beyond that. Rome Rising, it's, I believe, what's happening in the world today. And part of what has gotten us there, besides God's permissive will, is what globalists like David Rockefeller have been attempting to do for a long time. We ended the last episode with a quote from him where he basically admits that he is one of those internationalists conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will, he says. And then he admits it by saying, if that's the charge, I stand guilty and I'm proud of it. Well, what he's obviously done is he's thought of himself and become a citizen of the world. While he may have citizenship in America, he has placed himself above that by becoming a citizen of the world. Now, in his arrogance, Rockefeller essentially admits to working against the interests of the United States, and that becomes clear as we understand all of the groups and cabals he has been involved in, and the things those particular groups and cabals have attempted and are attempting to accomplish over the decades. I mean, this really goes back to the late 1800s with Rockefeller's forefathers, J.P. Morgan's forefathers, Carnegie's forefathers, all those people here in America banded together to begin to do what they could to protect themselves and their empires from people like William Jennings Bryan, who was going to run for president that year. So they basically handpicked a man, and this is, by the way, is according to the History Channel's own documentary. They basically picked their man, William McKinley, and got him elected through various means by spreading a lot of money around, bribing newspaper editors and the like. This is all done to pump themselves up, to give themselves a leg up. They don't care who they step on or walk over to get where they're going to go. And God, in His wisdom, is allowing them and has been allowing them to do that because ultimately it serves His purposes. So Rockefeller basically has admitted to working against the interests of the United States. Even though that's treason, nothing happened to him. Why? Well, because of his stature in the world. He is one of the most powerful men in the world, and certainly one of the richest. You know, it's not as if Rockefeller made only that statement and left it there, though. The entire chapter that I've quoted from in his book, Memoirs, and I'm referring to page 405 in that book where I quoted that quotation from him. The entire chapter is called Proud Internationalist, and it's replete with comments and statements supporting his main contention that he works for himself and other globalists towards a one-world government, a one-world system, a one-world company, if you will. And my suggestion would be for you to buy his book, read it yourself, and then look at what others are saying about that book. People like Daniel Estulin, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, so many people out there, Dr. John C. Coleman, who have studied men like Rockefeller and concluded that, yes, they are in effect doing everything they can to bring the United States under their control. Now, Rockefeller has been or is part of the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, and the Trilateral Commission, which, by the way, he created with the blessings of the higher-ups in the Bilderberg Group, and as well as other agencies and groups that he's created or been a part of. The real purpose of these groups has come to light due to the work, like the aforementioned Daniel Estulin, at great risk to himself. I would suggest that you read Daniel Estulin's books, The True Story of the Bilderbergers, Shadow Masters, and his latest one, I forget the name of it, but look up Daniel Estulin, E-S-T-U-L-I-N, on the net, and you'll find his books. He's a very, very intelligent man, an award-winning journalist. He digs deeply to find what he's after. Now, the sources that have come to him with the information are, according to him, some of the people inside Bilderbergers. These are people who have gotten fed up with the treasonous goals of that particular group or the other groups connected to the Bilderbergers, and they want to do what's right but can't leave. They can't leave for fear of their own or their family's lives. So they stay involved and provide information to people like Estulin. And obviously, if that's true, they do so with great risk to themselves. Ultimately, though, the beliefs of these secret cabals are simple. Yet they would cause most in the world to rebel if they were actually known, provably known. This is exactly why they remain secret societies. It's also exactly why so much of the information that people like Daniel Estulin have gained remains unbelievable to most, because he doesn't name his sources, obviously, for reasons that protect them. People simply cannot believe that groups like the global elite, whatever you want to call them, banksters, global elite, power elite, the Illuminati, whatever you'd like to name them, it's hard for people to believe that a group like that exists, who apparently have been directing societies throughout the world toward the goal of a one-world system. That appears to be the case, though, from everything I've studied, and I've studied so much from people who are what I would consider to be loony bins, and then they're, I can easily set them aside, to other people like Estulin, Cuddy, and Coleman, who have their wits about them and their background proves their integrity. So you sit there and you wonder, how could a group like this, the global elite, do what apparently these authors and others are saying that they're doing? Well, here's what they're doing, according to some. They're working toward absolute control of the planet through the control of wealth, natural resources, and people. Now, if we go back to just David Rockefeller and the quote I mentioned last episode and started this episode with, isn't that basically what he's admitting he's doing? He is trying to build, with others who are powerfully rich, a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. Why? Who does that benefit? That's the question we need to ask. Does it benefit us or them? Well, in order to answer that question, all we really need to do is look at the EU, and we can then get a glimpse of how well or not the EU works and who it really benefits. It seems to be benefiting not the average person, but those who are putting those unions together. And by the way, the North American Union, which would feature Canada, the United States, and Mexico, is still in the works. I don't know if you know that or not, but it is still in the works. Is that the reason we don't have a secure border to the south? I would say so. If the border fence were built like the border fence that is on the southern portion of Mexico, it would only need to be torn down by the globalists. They're not going to spend the money on that. They want it to be open. They want people to be able to go from Mexico to Canada and back again as part of a union. Now, if you look at the individual countries in the European Union, those countries are really countries in name only. The European Union flag flies above the country's flag. People can go from country to country without much problem at all, because it's still all considered to be the European Union. It's like driving from one state in the United States to another. There's no one at any border that's going to stop you. So it's beneficial to the globalists, because right now they have to pay tariffs and taxes, import fees, export fees, whenever they ship their products from the companies they own from one country to another, from the United States to Europe, from Europe to Africa, from Africa to Asia. You have a one world company, a one world government, and all of a sudden those tariffs, those fees, those import-export duties no longer exist for that company. That company is supranational. It goes well beyond the borders of a country or union. It is truly global, and if it's global, it doesn't have to worry about paying duty fees or taxes or tariffs or anything like that. And the final goal, though, that has been listed time and time again of these globalists is to convert the entire world into a Luciferian, totalitarian, socialist state. That's where the United States is moving toward. We're moving toward socialism because the goals, the 45 goals of communism have been at work in undermining and tearing this country, this society, apart. And once it gets to the point where it fails, and what I mean by that is once it gets to the point where the economy of the United States totally fails, people will cry for something different. They'll be told, see, it really didn't work. It was a great experiment, but it didn't work. A constitutional republic is fine, but it certainly has its limitations. What we need is socialism so that everybody gets the same thing. And that's what they will institute. But with a twist, the people who are like David Rockefeller, do you think they'll be bothered by socialism? Do you think they'll live under the tenets of socialism? No, they will live in a world of unbridled capitalism. We will not. They will. That's why they're doing this. They will eliminate anyone who does not agree with their program. And by the way, I believe the Bible is very, very clear about this in the book of Revelation alone. But it's not just the book of Revelation. Several books, several areas of scripture, both old and new, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Daniel, Joel, Amos. There are so many areas, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, that discuss and illuminate us as to the enemy's goals allowed by God. And to not read those goals, to not read his word, is to stay in the darkness. But if all this is true that I've just been talking about, then that is what we, the average person, is working against. And no wonder it's such an uphill battle, because while these are Satan's aspirations, and I mentioned that a while ago in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, no wonder it's such an uphill battle. But God is certainly allowing it for his purposes, and we need to keep that in mind. His purposes ultimately mean that in the end, he will be glorified in his absolute and unquestionable defeat of Satan. And when that happens, there will be no doubt in all the universe that God and only God is the true God. Satan is but a very poor and paltry imitator, one who pretends to be an angel of light, but is evil through and through. You know, it's funny, the global elite, many of them, to some degree, worship Lucifer. The Lucis Trust Company, which was created by Alice Bailey, Theosophist, and her husband years ago, is literally part of the publishing branch of the United Nations. We have all this stuff interwoven throughout all these secret groups. But God is in control. He's in charge. He's allowing it. Yet it is Satan who empowers directly humans to do his bidding, to make his goals a reality while they think it's theirs. This supernatural strength, fervor, and energy is the guiding factor in lives of people like David Rockefeller. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in the spiritual realm. Well, that is our show today. We will hopefully have you here next time. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.